Well, I would say happy Thursday, but it is not. It is actually Tuesday. Hope you had a wonderful 4th of July extended weekend. And now it's back to reality, particularly a political reality, because for the next several days, actually for the rest of the month of July, give or take, we are going to have political perspectives right here on WFSU. And before we get underway, a reminder that you're always invited to be part of Perspectives via phone and email when the program is on live at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 if it's long distance twixt you and us. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. And we also have a Twitter account. You can reach us there at WFSU. Perspective. This Perspectives episode will be telecast tonight at 7:30. That's Eastern Time on 4FSU. That is Comcast Channel 4 in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. And you'll also be able to see it online on our Perspectives page, which you can find at WFSU.org/elections2016. We kick off an entire month of political perspectives with the race for Leon County Clerk of Court / Comptroller, and we have all four of the contenders who are running for that position, and we'll go around the table from my left to your right, or backwards if you're watching us here on TV and listening on the radio. Frank Ayenin joins us. Frank, good to have you here, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here. I appreciate it. I think programs like this, it's really good. It gives the community an opportunity to hear and learn about different races. So thanks for allowing me to be here.
We really appreciate your being here. Bill Bogan also joins us, a contender for the job. Good to see you, Bill.
It's good to be here. Thank you so much for having us. This is an extremely important race, and it is good anytime the citizens get an opportunity to hear about the perspectives of the individuals that are competing for this office.
We'll be doing that throughout the hour. Thank you, Bill. Barry Brooks, right next door to you. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Tom. Thank you for having us out here, and thank WFSU for the service it does to this community, and in particular, sharing the political races that are upon us. And there are many. And just as Bill had indicated, this is an important race, fellow Leon Countyans, so please stay tuned and listen to what we have to say.
There we go. And we'll also be hearing from Gwendolyn Marshall, who is running for the job. Gwen, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good morning. Again, as all of the other candidates, this is a very important race and gives the citizens an opportunity to be educated on our perspective and on the office. And I think this does a good service for our community. Thank you for having us here this morning.
Leon County Clerk of Court / Comptroller, the office that we're talking about with the four contenders for that position right here on our political perspectives. And let's go around the table and find out a little bit of background on each of the hopefuls for that particular job and what they bring to the table. Frank Ayenin, if you can give a little bit of background and how that background to your way of thinking uniquely positioned you for the job.
Well, one thing I will say, I'm actually the only person in the race that's an attorney, which I think is very unique for this particular seat because you're the clerk for the county court and the circuit court. And there's 900-plus statutory requirements for the job. I think that definitely gives you a leg up as far as knowing what's required of the office and how to navigate those. I also have my MBA as well, so that gives experience in the comptroller role and being able to provide advice and guidance in that capacity of the office as well.
If I can ask you, what led you to actually throw your name into the figurative hat for that position?
Well, my parents actually came over from Nigeria. They're immigrants to this country, and they're always about giving back and public service, and they kind of taught me that growing up. Always wanted to give back to my community. I volunteer. I do a lot of pro bono. I used to as an attorney as well. I saw an opportunity. Bob Insor was retiring. I felt it was an opportunity for me to provide some of my input. I have specific ideas for the office as well, and give me an opportunity to try to express some of those.
We'll get around to that too. Bill Bogan, again, the same thing. What you bring to the position and what led you to become a candidate for the job?
Well, first and foremost, I'm the only CPA that's running for this office. I have over 13 years experience as the chief financial officer for the county, actually working in that position where I've had to deal with real issues throughout that whole 13-year period of time. We had a lot of success. We made a lot of changes, a lot of positive changes. In my CPA firm, over the last 7 years, I've had the opportunity of working with clerks around the state, and so I've actually seen all sides of it. I'm the candidate with over 20 years of experience actually working in the office, the only one with that amount of experience. And I felt like looking at this office and looking at the things that are being done here, those things are – they're doing a good job. However, I think we could do so much better. I want to see this office used for influence to help the people in Leon County. I want to see us use it to bring people together, to see it become the people's office again, in the sense that whether you are a widow who has lost a spouse and has to go through probate, or you are a convicted felon, but now you're in the probation system, that every person gets treated with dignity and respect. And that's one of the main things I want to do and bring to the table. I also want to get community involved as well.
Okay. Barry Bursa, if I could ask you the same question here, your unique qualifications for the position of clerk of court slash controller, and what led you to put those on the table?
Sure, Tom. I'm a lifelong Leon County resident, grew up in Tallahassee, attended Tallahassee Community College, Florida State University, received 2 degrees from FSU, master's in public administration. Public service has always been in my life and in my heart. My family has been good public servants, starting with my father. And when you grow up in Tallahassee, politics and government really is just in your blood. So over the years, 29 years that I've been serving in a public service capacity, I started out with 14 years with the legislative and governor's office background in budget and policy. Very responsible positions. I learned a lot. I got to deal with a lot of the state's issues in funding and in policy and in writing and drafting laws with the legislature. And then about 14 years after they left that service, I started with Doris Malloy, who's been our longtime tax collector in Leon County. She was elected about 16 years ago, and Doris brought me in as her chief deputy of administration. Serving in that capacity, again, I had an opportunity to, at the local level, learn the finance and appropriations process, as well as develop strong relationships with stakeholders. Now, why am I running for the clerk of courts? Well, one of those stakeholders that we had was Bob Enzer, Leon County clerk, longtime clerk. Bob and I developed a pretty decent relationship over the years. And matter of fact, one of the things that I led the tax collector's office through was a co-location with the clerk of courts and the tax collector in one of our offices. And that was an effort to do one-stop shopping for the community. And it's worked, and we still are co-located. And as a result of that relationship with Bob, we continue to stay in touch. We continued to have breakfast, and he would share with me the issues that the clerks were dealing with, and I would share the issues that the tax collectors were dealing with. And we found a lot of similarities and a lot of differences. So one breakfast, Bob said that his wife decided it was time for him to retire. And he kind of was making the question, what do you think about coming over and learning the clerk's office and possibly running for the next Leon County clerk? So I was honored to have that offer, and I took him up on it. And so over a year now, I've been inside the office working in the courts, working in my own division, but also working on court issues. And I have become very familiar with a lot of the pressing issues that the clerks are dealing with statewide, majority of it funding issues, which of course I have a definite leg up on that, and then also in the courts side of things with the technology implications that the clerk is dealing with. So that's why I'm out there. I think I've got a lot to bring to the table, 29 years of experience. I'm sensitive to the needs of Leon County, and I look forward to hopefully being your next clerk of court.
And as we add to the list of candidates, Gwendolyn Marshall, also running for the same job, which is Leon County Clerk of Court and Comptroller. Ma'am, your qualifications and what led you to this?
I currently work for the Florida Association of Court Clerks. I've been there now for 17 years. I moved to Tallahassee almost 20 years ago to attend FSU. I'm a graduate from FSU criminology program. I started at the association in 1999 at the bottom, working in the child support department. Over the years, I've held several positions within the organization. I did treasury management for our Florida Local Investment Trust. Under that plan, we have over $1 billion in assets today. That is a very successful program. I also worked, just like I said, I was the liaison for child support when they first centralized that. Our association operates as the right arm to the clerk's office. Our founder retired after 38 years, and they came to me and say, okay, well, Gwen, since you're familiar, you've been here, you know all the operations, how about you take over member services? So for the last 10 years, I've served as the member services manager for the Clerks Association. I serve as the secretary to the board of both of our organizations, our nonprofit and our for-profit company. In addition, I oversee, administer, and implement the training program for the clerks of court throughout the state of Florida. One of the things our association does, we work with all of our state and judicial partners on solutions on how to make the court operate more efficiently. I can say Mr. Enzer has done a great job in Leon County keeping up with our technology. That's one of the things I would like to expound upon. A lot of these software services, the association governs with other state and judicial partner. So one of those things, coming from an education background, I would like to educate the public on just how the office serves them and how it should work for them. I would like to be involved in the community, engaging them, working with our local associations, our civic groups, just to make sure the court is accessible for all citizens in Leon County. And when I talk about all citizens, we have two major colleges here, very diverse population. We have a large senior group. We also have a large Latino group. So when you're talking about accessibility, especially when it comes to our website, making sure it's user-friendly, it can be translated. And then when our seniors and disabled community, you know, one of my candidates just mentioned a central collection site, but we need to make sure there's counters available for our seniors and our disabled community, accessibility for them to get in and get out. A lot of times we look at those people and just think that, you know, it's just a convenience because we've automated everything. They would like to be a part of our civil process. They like to participate on juries. They like to come out and be involved. So just for me, I would just like to make sure that our community is engaged and able to participate in the judicial process.
Thank you, Ms. Marshall. More to come right here on Political Perspectives. We are back on Political Perspectives, being broadcast live on WFSU-FM and also being video recorded for playback at 7:30. That's Eastern Time tonight on 4FSU, which is Comcast Channel 4. We also want to give a plug here for Bandwagon, which is up and coming. The primary Bandwagon on WFSU-TV is August 8th. That's for Leon County races. It'll be at 7 o'clock on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4. Also, the primary Bandwagon is set for August 10th for Gadsden and Wakulla County races. That'll be at 7 o'clock on 4FSU that evening. And then the general election Bandwagon on September 26th. And that's always a lot of fun. You can see the candidates giving statements and making their pitch for why they should have the particular race that they're running for in their hip pocket. And they also bring their supporters who wave signs and jump up and down. And it's just such an exciting thing. We are talking here in our initial Political Perspectives with folks who are running for the Leon County Clerk of Court / Comptroller race. And those folks are Mr. Ayetin, Frank Ayetin, Bill Bogan, Barry Brooks, and Gwendolyn Marshall. Starting with you, Mr. Ayetin, if you could talk a little bit about why this particular job, the clerk of court / comptroller, is important and what it really means to the citizenry and what you would bring to that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I think this position is important to the citizenry for a variety of different reasons. One, it correlates with a lot of different other constitutional offices, tax collector, sheriff's office. So there's a lot of interagency involvement there. Also, this is somewhat the face of county government when people do go into offices or do they have traffic tickets. This is what they see, and that level of customer service can hopefully bring a little bit more satisfaction. One thing that I do want to do in my vision for the clerk's office, in 2015, administrative order, we had veterans courts here in Leon County. The legislature agreed to have reoccurring funding for that. I would like to use outreach to let people know of those programs that are available because that provides a variety of different benefits. First of all, I think we owe it to our veterans, some of them who come back and are dealing with a variety of different issues, not to treat them like the average criminal and allow them ultimate alternatives to their adjudication. Also, there's a cost savings involved there. The clerk's office is facing budget cuts. Here in Leon County, I think there's been cuts since 2005. Budget's been steadily decreasing. So there's reoccurring funding. Putting people in, options for veteran courts can save money rather than adjudicating, putting them in prison. Also provides a better alternative so they can get track of their life. Also, information technology, I think that's a really, really big thing here because there can be a cost savings involved there. Time to bring our clerk's office, improve into the 20th century, 21st century a little bit better. It being 2016, there's a lot of different options. I saw that they did have a, chat feature on there so people can talk to some of the deputy clerks, maybe improving upon stuff like that to improve access. And then few other ideas, but definitely I think there's a lot of different things that can be done in this office, and I definitely think this office has potential to touch citizens. And also in the comptroller role, obviously auditing some of the expenses of the county and holding different agencies in the county, people in the county accountable for some of their spending.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Bogan, your thoughts on why this is such a critical office?
This office actually touches more citizens. And at some point in time, it touches all the citizens in this community. If you have a property transaction, it touches you. If you're getting married, it touches you. If you have a passport, need a passport, it's going to touch you. As Franklin's mentioned, it will touch you even when you have issues related to the courts, regardless of what it is, if it's a traffic fine, probate issues. Things of those matter, of that nature. But the office also touches people in ways that sometimes I think that they don't even realize. For example, when you look at the taxes that are collected, the property taxes, whether you are renting an apartment or you're a property owner, you're touched. Every month you pay that bill, every month you pay your rent, you're touched because property taxes is near a $250 million budget that's being managed. And what we're talking about here is a situation where people, if it's not just auditing the county, the clerk is the one that actually determines the public good. There are three things that are looked at when you're talking about expenditure of public funds: legislative authority, which the Board of County Commission does, budgetary authority, which they put in the budget, and then the public good. That is an issue that's determined solely by the clerk of the circuit court and comptroller. I'm the only one in this race that's actually done that, and I've done it for over 13 years. Now, some folks will say, well, you can get somebody else to come in and do that. Well, maybe. The thing is you got to have someone that when you have a county commissioner that's retiring, and maybe even it's a small item, it's a $500 pair of cufflinks that they want to run through the budget, are you going to step aside and pay for it, or are you going to tell them to pass the hat because it's not really a public good issue? Now, I think also when you're talking about transparency, when you're talking about the 5 cent gas tax that they passed a year and a half ago. I'm not saying that they didn't need it. I don't know whether they needed it or not. But we didn't get enough information to know whether it was needed. And I can tell you, when I went into that office, the books were closed. People didn't know how much money was in the reserves. They didn't know how the money was being spent. we call it transparency now, but I was the one that actually opened it up. I convinced the clerk, Dave Lang, to do that at the time, and we opened the books up, and we built a sound financial government, which they're benefiting from to this day. Even the garbage fees, for example. We had over $14 million in reserves when I left there. But that was done as a result of me sitting down with our current city manager, Rick Fernandez, who was the internal audit. They came into the county and they found that we had over $600,000 that we had overcharged the citizens in the city of Tallahassee. And there was some bickering going back and forth about the money. The fact that I had worked with the city and went to the county, sat down with Mr. Fernandez, and we came up with an agreement that we would take back to our prospective commissions the proposal to form a rate stabilization fund with all excess money. Instead of having this process, if you spend it, you lose it, we formed a rate stabilization fund, which they put that money in. To this day, Leon County has some of the lowest tipping rates in the state because of that impetus that went between Mr. Fernandez and myself. You talk about the court side. I'm concerned, as Ms. Ayetan is, but not just about veterans, but I'm concerned about all citizens. We have citizens that are mentally ill. We have citizens that are addicted on drugs. And we have a revolving door where we're constantly locking them up. Those citizens need to be treated. I believe that I can work with the judges and all of those stakeholders, state attorney, public defender, county commission, sheriff, see if we can't come together and find a way to address this issue, because we're spending over $100 million annually on crime in this community. And it's been estimated as from 25 to 30% of the people that are locked up are either mentally ill or on drug-related charges, minor drug-related charges. The clerk's office is doing a good job pushing the paper. But I believe we can do a better job using our influence to help the community. And I agree with what Ms. Marshall said. That's why I said I want to make it the citizen's office again. I want us to reach out to not just the Hispanics, but the Asians, the Muslims. This office needs to become the people of Leon County's office again. And one of the things that concerns me is that I feel that we kind of gravitated away from that. I was there when Dave Lang went in and tried to make it to people's office, and he worked hard at that. And I was there when Bob first got there, and we worked at that as well. I think we've kind of gone back a little bit. And I know that I can lead us to where we need to be.
Thank you very much. Mr. Brooks, your thoughts there. We're into visioning, too, apparently, so go ahead.
Well, thank you, Tom. The clerk's office is one of those offices that is ministerial by nature. If you look at Florida statutes, if you look at the Constitution where the clerk of court is set up as an officer of the court, we have to recognize the fact that, the clerk can be in a bully pulpit, so to speak, and can initiate some of the, potential policy makers to make some decisions that would be favorable for the community. But ultimately, the clerk's responsibility is managing the activities of the judiciary, keeping all the records of the judiciary. And as Bill put it, we are pretty good at pushing paper, but I will say this. The clerk is moving away from pushing paper, and we're actually digitizing, and we're well on our way. And matter of fact, county courts started today being a paperless court. Working with Chief Judge Shustrom and our judicial partners, we ended up going paperless in our county court system. So from a visioning perspective, my concern is basically how do we serve the public? And when we serve the public, how may we serve the public better? And the public is everybody. It is our veterans, which Judge Flurry has taken the initiative on with the Veterans Court, and the clerk has been very helpful to that. It's also dealing with issues such as substance abuse, and there's the civil citation process, which the clerk's office has been working with the legislature on with the Clerks Association, trying to develop a process that's somewhat consistent statewide. The clerk is there as somebody that says, look, these are all great ideas, and these are, and this is our anticipation on how it's really going to work and where we can tweak it. But we're not the policymakers. We don't have the budget in order to implement a lot of these great ideas. They have to be decided, like you had recognized, Bill, by the county commission or by the state legislature to provide the necessary appropriations for the judiciary and the clerk to be able to enter into certain programs. There's a lot of opportunity for improvements, no doubt. Mr. Eichten, you had indicated that, you know, very wisely that in anything you always look for that opportunity to improve. And I think the points that I want to bring to the table is finding out how the citizens are obtaining our services, how we may make those services fit the needs of our citizens better, whether it's coming into the office, as Gwen had mentioned, trying to improve our ADA accessibility, which I'm familiar with because I was the facilities person for Doris, and we made all of our offices very ADA accessible, or whether it's technology. Technology is really where it's at. The clerk has been able to do a 40% savings. Bob Enzer, since 2008, has been able to reduce about 40% of the courtside staff. A lot of it helped us weather some of the cuts that the legislature has ultimately made. But we did that through technology and through reorganization of the office, very innovative approaches. Bob and his staff have been very much looking out to how they can serve the citizens, and I plan to continue that. And I'm proud of what the office does. I'm proud that we work within the community. The audit side of things, exactly. I totally agree with you too. I think that one of the issues I would like to do is work with all the constitutional officers. This is a great opportunity for us again. They're going to be all new officers basically. Doris Malloy may be the only one that is kind of retained, but everybody else will be new. It would be great if we could all get together as new officers and kind of vision where do we want to see Leon County going. And I've had some initial conversations that's acceptable, particularly with the board's leadership. Audit is one of the things. I think we can do a better audit job. Having worked in the legislature, understanding the concept of joint legislative management and the joint legislative audit committee and the joint technology committee legislature has, I don't see why we can't do the same thing here in Leon County. Why pay for things twice? You know, why can't we just establish a unified group? We have an audit committee that's made up of different officers, but let's expand it a little bit. Why can't we look at the school board potentially, look at the statutes that govern that? Maybe if we had a robust audit function like Bill was alluding to, we might have looked at some of those contracts that are being questioned right now. So I think there's a lot of opportunity, and I would look forward to the challenge, and hopefully I will be your next clerk here in Leon County.
Ms. Marshall, let me give you plenty of time to express your thoughts on your vision for the office and also some of the ideas that you have maybe to expand the purview of the clerk of circuit court / controller's office here. And what we may have to do is split you up between one side on one end of the break and on the other side just so you have full opportunity to respond. Let's start with about a minute and a half to start, okay?
Okay. One of the concerns I have for the clerk's office, as some of my candidates have alluded, the clerks have been facing budget shortfalls or budget cuts for the last 10 years. As my understanding, I think Mr. Enzer is now looking at doing a 25% reduction in staff. Some of the things we do as the association, we've been working, trying to find ways to streamline the office, not just Leon County, but all the offices in the state of Florida. But my main concern is we look at digitizing. This is a technological age. Based on a Supreme Court order, 1518, we're required to have all of our records public, give public access to all our records online. And I just think sometimes we get caught up in those initiatives and we kind of forget what the office was created for. As a clerk of court, most people don't realize this. Let me just back up. Most people don't realize it's a dual constitutional officer. We are county officers, and we also are state officers for the courts. And for the county, when we talk about how it's important to the public, we invest. And unfortunately, let me back up again. One of the things I'm concerned about with Leon County in this particular race, a lot of focus, we have been outshadowed by some of the other local races. The clerk touches everyone's life in some kind of way, and unfortunately, people don't realize that. I mean, one of my members said it eloquently. If you want to adopt, you have to file it through the courthouse. If you want to get married, you have to file that again through the courthouse. If you realize 4 years later that you made a mistake and want a divorce, you also have to file that. We also keep death records on file. So we touched every person's life in this community. Also, as the comptroller, we are the public trustees, and I think that's the most important part of the position. When we talk about public trustees, we're responsible for protecting and preserving the public trust in our county government. We have to be good stewards of our county funds, and I just don't feel that most people understand that that's the role of the clerk. And it goes back to education, educating. And so for me, that's what I would like to do, and that's where I envision the clerk office going.
Thank you very much. We're talking about the Leon County Clerk of Court / Comptroller's Office here on Political Perspectives. A quick timeout, and then we'll be right back. Political Perspectives. We kick off today what will essentially be an entire month of your ability to meet the candidates who are running for office here in Leon County, and in some cases a more regional kind of situation when we get into the congressional races and House District 8 and 9 and all of that throughout the month of July right here on not only WFSU-FM but also on 4FSU, which is broadcasting these get-togethers nightly on the evening of which they appear. And also, don't forget the bandwagon, which is coming up. Primary bandwagon August 4th for Leon County races, 7 o'clock on 4FSU. And primary bandwagon August 10th for Gadsden and Wakulla County races, also 7 o'clock on 4FSU, which is Comcast Channel 4. Our political candidates for the office of Leon County Clerk of Court / Comptroller, Frank Ayette and Bill Bogan, Barry Brooks and Gwendolyn Marshall here with us. We wanted to make sure that you had finished your thought there, Ms. Marshall, since you didn't have quite as much of an opportunity to talk as your colleagues over here.
Okay. Well, I just want to expound upon just briefly when we're talking about the role of the clerk. One of the things that distinguished me from my other counterparts working for the association for the last 17 years is I've been out promoting the office. That's one of our primary responsibility as the association, representing the clerks throughout the state of Florida. So I've been at the table for the last 10 years, you know, coming up with solutions. I know the issues. I've actually developed some of the issues. I know what works. I know what doesn't work. For me, it's just I'm running because I just feel like that is essential to all of our citizens to be able to participate in our judicial process. That's the primary role in the scope of the service that the clerks provide. I know some of my other counterpart talk about mental health, but there is a primary role that the clerks play in mental health. You know, I would like to advocate for the citizens in Leon County. But one of the things when being a clerk, our real role, we work with DHSMV and FDLE to make sure all the records are up to date and in proper order in our system. We're referenced as the custodian of the records, both on the county side and the court side. You know, some of the things we talked about in the past, you know, we didn't want Sandy Hooks to happen in the state of Florida. Unfortunately, we had the tragedy in Orlando. But as the clerk, I want to ensure those records are kept up to date and are in our system, so when they do background check, they have to go through the court's database. Those background checks on mental health records are up to date and current, so when they go to the gun shows and try to purchase guns, we'll block those type of things. That is the clerk's role in the mental health process. I also like to advocate on our court fees. I've mentioned earlier that in some of my previous debate, Florida has some of the highest court fees in the country. I would like to be an advocate for the citizens of Leon County and go try to work with our legislature and our judicial partner to come up with some creative ways, alternative ways, so nonviolent infractions can be reduced or find alternative ways of the citizens paying for those infractions and things like that, and just advocating on the behalf of the citizens of Leon County. So that's what I stand for. That's what I would like to promote, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be the clerk of Leon County.
And a reminder that you are also invited to become a part of the proceedings here on Perspectives at 414-1234. If you have a question for any of the four candidates for the clerk of court for Leon County / comptroller's office, 800-926-8809 if it's long distance, or you can pop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. All of you have shared some of the concerns that you have regarding the future of the office, and there seem to be a number of viable ideas that have been floating around the table, such as the transition from longtime incumbent clerk Mr. Bob Enzer, who also had a long history with the city of Tallahassee and their fiscal department before coming over to winning the election on the county side, but also the fact that sometimes the Florida legislature has not been altogether, should we say, supportive of the funding requirements of not only the clerk's office, but also the judicial systems around the state, and many other factors that the new incoming clerk / comptroller is going to have to handle. So if we can reverse it, because we've been going around in a clockwise circle, let's go counterclockwise. Ms. Marshall, what do you see as the major, should you get the job, the major challenges that you would be facing in that position and how you would handle them right from day one?
The biggest challenge the clerks face today is sustainable funding. It's coming up with creative ways to make sure that we are funded properly so we can fulfill our constitutional duties. From day one, I would go in the office and do an audit assessment of the operations, look at certain areas that we can cross-train or certain areas that can be partnered with some of our local judicial leaders. I would make an assessment, do an analysis with our senior staff to see what kind of ideas that they have. I also would like to create canvassing boards and community engagement boards, see how the community would like to see their courthouse operated. So that would be my plan on day one, just assessing exactly what the needs of the courthouse is. And then from there, I would look at ways of expounding upon the current technology, just ensuring that we are up to date with our the technological age. And then from there, just utilize current resources. One of the other things I would like to look at when we're talking about engaging community, I want to make sure that we as the clerk are responsible for investing tax dollars. I'm not sure how those contracts are awarded and what reserves and what banks we're working with, but I just want to make sure we reinvest and try to keep all of our dollars within the community, make sure our local banks and our small businesses have opportunities to work with the courthouse and to benefit, just to ensure that we are making sure our community is benefiting from the funds and the fees that we're collecting in our local community.
Okay. Same scenario, Mr. Brooks. First day challenges, your response.
The first day challenge is, for me, should I be fortunate enough to become the next clerk, I've already started working on I have a unique background. I don't think anybody here at the table has the level or the in-depth knowledge I have of Florida's legislative process and appropriations process. I was a former staff director in appropriations and was responsible for a significant portion of the budget. And I understand how it works. And I understand how you get issues into the legislature, particularly on a budgetary fashion, and you make the arguments that get traction. Gwen is exactly right. The challenge that the clerks have been facing statewide and here in Leon County specifically, we're down significantly in our funding availability in Leon County, is budget. And one of the things that the statewide associations have tapped me on, particularly the CCOC, which is the statutorily designated entity that funds clerks or divvies up the money that comes out of the legislature for clerks, they've asked me to participate in what does the legislature want to know? What does the staff want to know? So I've been participating in two different work groups with several clerks statewide and also several key staff. Number one, to change the dynamics of the information and, as Bill indicated, the transparency that would provide to the legislative and the legislative staff to make a decision, and also to develop a budget process. The clerks have a broken funding model by statute. Gwen had indicated that the Florida Court Clerks Association has been our right arm in trying to present the best argument for the clerks. I think they have failed miserably in this particular element. The association is wonderful with the education outreach that you do, with the information sharing on how statutes have changed. But from a budgetary function, they have failed the clerks for the past 10 years. In 2010, there was an $85 million redirect by the legislature to deal with the shortfall in general revenue. Those were funds that were specifically to go statewide to clerks. Well, they didn't not just hit the clerks. They hit other people. They hit Department of Transportation, the State Transportation Trust Fund. They hit other trust funds back when the economy kind of tanked. Well, unfortunately, the clerks have been kind of left holding the bag. While the legislature restored those funds to these other entities, they did not restore the funds to the court clerks. And our association is supposed to be the entity that represents us before the legislature and lobbies us and tells the story of what the clerk does. And it hasn't had any traction. One of the first things I did when I joined Bob's staff was, you know, besides looking at the Constitution and besides pulling the statutes and trying to understand the funding formula for clerks, is I started asking certain people, why is the clerk not in the state appropriations bill? If they need state funding, why are they not in the GAA? Oh, that's handled in the back of the bill. No, it's not. You're talking to a state appropriations expert. It's not handled in the back of the bill. It's put in the General Appropriations Act. That way it can be discussed and debated on the floor in the legislature. So the first year that I was there, I kept was being told by Bob that our lobbyists were sharing with us that we're going to be taken care of. It's going to be handled in the back of the bill. And I would tell Bob, I said, it's not in the appropriations bill. We're not going to get handled. We're going to have our shortfall. No, it's going to get taken care of. The subcommittee chair is going to take care of it. Guess what? Didn't happen. Went to conference. Didn't happen with the subcommittee chairs. Went to the full committee chairs. Same story. Full committee chairs are going to take care of it. No, they're not. The clerks statewide have a budget of about $450 million. The legislature is dealing with an $82 billion budget. We are a gnat on the proverbial elephant's hind end. It's an issue that needs to be in the appropriations bill so staff can get a thorough understanding of it. And it hasn't been. And I think that's been a big mistake and is really what has cost the clerks. So one of the first things I'll do is continue working the process that I'm working right now with some of the leader clerks around the state and try to reevaluate and develop a better relationship with the legislature and the staff of the legislature to get the clerks adequately funded.
Okay. Bill Bogan, what are you going to do first day?
First day, I'm going to spend time talking with the employees and getting to know them again and getting to find out what their goals and their desires are and to share my vision with them. That's first day. I do want to address some things, though. Let me just first of all say, if I'm elected clerk, I'm not talking about using this office for a bully pulpit. as Barry mentioned. I'm talking about using this office to help make things different in this community. And let me just say that when you look at, like, the issue he talked about, the redirect, it actually happened in 2008. It was 2008-111 Laws of Florida. When I was working with the Clerk of Court Operations Corporation, I was an internal auditor. I did it for over 4 years. During that period of time, they redirected $110 million that they're still taking out of those funds. Now, it may be down to 85 because the court fees are lower. But what happened was, how did that happen? The Clerks Association came together with the clerks. They came up with a fee proposal that they presented to the legislature that was going to help adequately fund the clerks' offices. The legislature passed the fees but took the money and put it in general revenues. That's what happened. And I can say that because I monitored it for over 4 years. Now, we can talk about the appropriations process, but the issue that's happened is this. Article 5, Revision 7, when it got implemented in 2004, is what caused this whole thing to happen. The state took over the budgetary process for the clerks. The counties and the citizens said the state wasn't adequately funding the court, so they wanted the state to take it over, not realizing that the clerks had so much discretion that some clerks were charging more than other clerks around the state. And so what happened was you'd have some clerks' offices that were being adequately funded and some that were not. We have the same issue today. It's just worse. Now, when Bob Enzer got elected in 2000, he came in and he was working on a lot of things in the courts. I'm the one that gave Bob the imprint on how to adjust the office. We worked together, but I was the impetus of this. I said, Bob, in 2004, when the legislature enacted these laws, they're not going to adequately fund us. We can't afford to have layoffs and furloughs. So we put a process in place to help people to define why they needed those positions, what those positions were for, and any position that was not defended was frozen.
Let's give Mr. Agyedan a chance to respond here, too, since we're running short on time. Franklin,
that.
If you would, please.
Yeah, so day one, obviously the budget cuts are a big issue. I think one of the things that the clerk's office does need is a robust external affairs department. You mentioned earlier, a lot of people don't know what the clerk's office does or why it touches their lives. I think we need people doing outreach. The clerk's of court's office has a Facebook page, but I don't think that was created until 2015, which was technology, maybe pushing some of that stuff, explaining to people why this office is important. That way, when we do go to the legislature and we are fighting for, you know, increase in budget or the money that we do need, there's also community support. People realize how much this touches their lives. So definitely day one, external affairs department. Another benefit that I think that I bring, like I said, also being an attorney, Gwen, you mentioned court fees. But I think I like to find creative solutions to things. And one thing with the court fees, Chapter 28 of our statutes does allow for payment plans. So there are different alternatives that we could do to reach out to people in the community, can't afford to do certain things. So day one, I'm sitting down finding creative solutions instead of trying to solve these problems the same way people have been trying to solve them in the past.
Okay, folks, we only have just a few moments remaining here, and try not to limit folks in their responses, but by necessity of time, we're going to have to do that. So let's go around the table one more time. And just in a few short moments, Ms. Gwendolyn Marshall, why vote for you coming up in the election?
Well, vote for Gwen if you want to win is my slogan. However, vote for the person who has invested and dedicated my entire professional career advocating for the clerk of courts. I'm not a career politician. This is my first time running for office. And I just want to do something positive in our community. I've been dedicated to this position, ensuring that it's successful throughout the state of Florida, and I think I'm the best candidate for the job.
Okay, just a few seconds, Mr. Brooks.
Sure. Mary Brooks, please check out my website, brooks4clerk.com. That will tell you what you need to know about me, and I hope I will earn your trust and vote in August 30th.
Mr. Bogan.
Bill Bogan, CPA, the only candidate that actually has real work experience working in this office. And was very successful at doing it. I ask for your vote on August 30th.
Very good. And Mr. Yadin.
Like I said, I'm an attorney. I have an MBA. And if you want someone who's going to bring new, fresh, creative ideas to solve these problems that we're facing, I think I should be your vote.
Folks, thank you so much. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox, Lydell Rawls on the phones and email connections, and providing video support for 4FSU, Suzanne Smith, Paul Day, and Brandy Staney, Becca Alves, Jason Ramsamer, Paul Delva, and Frankie Verdesia. I'm Tom Flanagan. Tomorrow, continue with our race for Leon County Sheriff. We'll reconnect then on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.